carry your cross.
Once believers went to God, and each of them carried their own cross on this path. My cross seems too heavy, thought one trickster. It's uncomfortable for me to carry it. Let me saw off the end of the cross. And so he did. They continue walking. Everyone is struggling, suffering, and he is cheerful. It's easy for him. And then they reached the abyss. They all laid down their crosses, and they crossed over to the other side on them, like a bridge. But the trickster couldn't, because his cross was too short. So he perished in that abyss. He tried to deceive, but in reality, he deceived himself. He made God laugh.
With this parable, the keeper of knowledge began today's conversation. It took place in a beautiful guest hall, also known as the Temple of Knowledge. This crystal majestic structure, towering amidst emerald valleys and boundless fields, was a sacred place accessible only to the initiated. Its transparent walls, refracting sunlight, created numerous rainbow hues, giving the room a special, mysterious, and mystical atmosphere. It was here, under the high vault, adorned with symbols of knowledge and wisdom, that a group of faithful disciples gathered to touch wisdom and immerse themselves in the study of ancient sacred knowledge brought to them by the Master.
I am glad to see you, hearts aspiring to enlightenment.
The keeper greeted the gathered people, seated in rows of transparent chairs, and immediately invited them to discuss.
What is this parable about? What do you think?
Replies came from different parts of the hall.
About why the cunning one cannot come to God.
About the fact that God sees everything. What we think, what we scheme, what we experience.
The trickster always tries to avoid effort, but without it, nothing can be achieved. About how important it is not to shun effort, but on the contrary, to carry your cross honestly.
Yes, excellent.
Rejoiced the master for his spiritual children and added,
and also about the fact that only when we carry our cross do we develop. But if we try to saw it off, evade solving problems, make life easier for ourselves, then our effort will be insufficient, and we will not be able to reach the required level of development.
He gestured, inviting everyone to join the conversation. A beautiful mulatto with black, pitch black, curly hair was the first to ask the master a question.
Master, it turns out that I constantly act like a trickster. It's not deliberate, but mechanical. Later, in hindsight, I repent, expose myself, exaggerate, but it doesn't help. In the next situation, I still deceive automatically, as I cannot control myself.
The girl stumbled for a moment. She thought that others were looking at her back in disapproval because she was sitting in the front row and, standing up to ask a question, she seemed to be ahead of everyone else. But looking back, she saw acceptance and attention in the eyes of other disciples and support in their gestures. Calming down, she continued to confess her flaws.
And sometimes I try to trade it off. Even if I'm not guilty of something, I silently accept the punishment. It's like I'm canceling out that automatic unconscious cunning. Does such compensation work? On the one hand, it seems like I sawed off the cross, but on the other hand, I glued it back. How do I deal with this?
The main thing, Amina, is that you make the necessary efforts. It's like in the gym. To develop muscles, you need a load. If it's too light, nothing will come of it. After all, the cross is given to us as a simulator. Yes, it's heavy and inconvenient, like weight or a barbell for an athlete. But just thinking about development, just contemplating it, won't help. Without real efforts, it's impossible to develop neither the soul nor the body. As for your question, I will tell you this. If there is not enough effort, there is no development. You need to try harder, be more active in making efforts. And don't forget about the right mindset.
And what if I can't?
The disciple whispered, almost inaudibly.
When you feel the essence with your heart, then everything will work out for you. Understand the main thing, Cunning is indulgence in ignorance. Through it, you try to preserve your weaknesses and vices. But what's the use of preserving what kills you? Nothing good will come of it. Only destruction. Carrying your cross purifies you from dirt. And then separation occurs.
Feeling relieved, for she dared to confess her flaw, that she received support from like-minded people and wise advice from the master, Amina sat down on the transparent chair. Her body was no longer tense, her shoulders straightened. It was evident that she was ready to fight her imperfections.
Master, could the practice of rational proposal, which you taught us earlier, help in development? And wouldn't that be a cunning way to lighten the burden?
The topic of cunning and how to fight it was continued by Alex, a man in a turquoise t-shirt, whose large, massive figure and tenacious gray eyes made him look like a serious, pedantic man.
Rational proposal is appropriate when we are doing some work, let's say, promoting the school's knowledge in the world, and we think about how to do it more effectively and faster, what methods to apply. But if the process is related to self-development, then there is only one way: to develop more intensively, to exert more effort. You can't outsmart, pretend, or deceive God, Alex.
Great one. I've been thinking about how interesting the spiritual world is, how quickly all processes manifest in it.
A young guy stood up, his light, slightly wavy hair, prominent cheekbones, and relaxed movements revealed him as a resident of Scandinavia.
God creates circumstances for our development. And if a person refuses to accept the situation and make efforts, but lives by the motto, "It's not my fault, it's not my business, I don't know anything," then it will still come back to them, but in even larger proportions. And no matter how hard we try, we cannot outwit God, am I right?
Ivar concluded his speech, stretching out his words a bit.
Yes, Ivar, you are right. God always sees the truth, and at the moment of the aspect of the planets, he shows it to the person. This is how karma manifests itself.
Sorry, I didn't quite understand. What do planets have to do with it, and how are they connected to karma? Please explain.
A petite redhead disciple, who had recently become a participant in meetings with the sage, did not immediately grasp the meaning of what was said and asked.
Of course, Mariana.
The keeper smiled warmly, showing that he was open to questions from his disciples.
Living life, we make various actions, good and bad. And depending on their type, they accumulate on different planets. Then, when there is a good aspect of this planet, all the good deeds we did earlier begin to manifest. We are awaited by happy opportunities, success, and favorable situations. And when a bad aspect comes to this planet, all the bad things we did also return to us in the form of difficulties and bad events. Now, do you understand the origins of karma?
The keeper glanced questioningly at the girl. She nodded happily, and he continued.
So we really cannot deceive God, and therefore our task is to accumulate good karma and avoid negative karma, which shows us our imperfections. Only then can we develop and grow.
At the last words, the keeper stepped into the center of the hall, raising his hands to the sky. A ringing silence hung in the air. The atmosphere was filled with indescribable bliss and divine radiance, which filled the temple. And the act itself resembled a mystery. Both this crystal-white altar with burning incense and the tall, handsome man of noble appearance in a black cloak, the keeper of knowledge, teaching his faithful disciples the secrets of the universe, philosophy, and spiritual teachings, and the group of men and women, in trembling reverence, catching every word of his.
Master, I have a question. I tell my father, why do you and Mom tolerate each other when you constantly fight and hate each other?
An active guy with expressive facial expressions named Harry often asked practical questions from life.
And he replies to me, "This is my cross." Do people really have to endure such things?
Enduring suffering in the family is madness.
The keeper frowned almost imperceptibly.
Understand, They are necessary sufferings that help us to develop. When we make useful efforts to be conscious, to repent, to exaggerate, we develop the muscles of the soul like the body in the gym.
He mimed, as if lifting his hands with an improvised barbell with effort, and then, putting them to his heart, showed how his heart beat vibrantly when the soul opened up. Obedient to his impulse, the disciples also put their hands to their chests and felt the kindness and love that the Master sent them right at that moment.
But there are foolish, suffering efforts like in your example, Harry.
The keeper continued his speech.
Dragging a drunken husband, enduring a hysterical wife, supporting an infantile adult son. All these are useless efforts. And it seems like a person is making a lot of effort, but there is no use in them. There are suffering patterns that we have been accustomed to. Everyone is having children, and you go and have children. Everyone works at the factory and suffers, and you go and toil. But all this has nothing to do with our development.
Yes, that's how it is with my neighbors. They pampered their son, saying, "He's God's gift to us." And everything was made for him, everything according to his liking. They spoiled him. And he grew up to be a criminal, a drug addict, and an alcoholic.
Casey, a mother of many children, confirmed the keeper's words with a story from life.
Nothing good comes from such upbringing.
Whispered two middle-aged women in the back rows, agreeing with her.
My dear disciples, aspiring for wisdom, what do you think is development?
The keeper of knowledge unexpectedly threw a question in the hall.
Well, to become a better person.
Or to make the lives of others more pleasant.
So that society becomes more spiritual, more enlightened.
Variations were heard from different parts of the temple. The master's face lit up with joy. It was evident that he felt kindness, as always in those moments when the disciples understood him implicitly and felt his thoughts.
Remember, this is very important, my beloved.
The keeper looked attentively at the listeners, as if peering into the soul of each of them.
If we make efforts that are related to development, we become better. But if they are not directed towards our spiritual growth, all actions will be in vain.
Today, many bloggers, thinking that they are saving people, convey some knowledge to them. But in reality, they only clutter the minds of their subscribers with nonsense.
Ivar stood up again.
Does it mean they are accumulating bad karma? But on the other hand, they are ignorant and cannot understand all this.
The guy shrugged. The keeper shook his head.
A person never admits to themselves that they are ignorant and need to learn. They already imagine themselves a great know-it-all and spread all kinds of nonsense to people. And all because they did not look at themselves honestly, did not ask themselves, "What can I give to people if I am imperfect?" So they deceive themselves, exaggerate their abilities, say all sorts of nonsense to people, from which they degrade, and their lives get worse and worse.
Beloved Master, then how can an ordinary person tell if it is true knowledge or not?
Inquired the lady sitting by the window. Laura, the oldest participant in the meeting, resembled a countess in her manners, refined speech, and always impeccable, high, elegant hairstyle revealing her neck.
When genuine knowledge is conveyed, Laura, people become better because of it.
Thank you, Great One,
nodded Laura.
If you permit, I'll ask another question.
And receiving a nod of approval from the keeper, she continued.
Is it possible to equate cunning and laziness?
It was evident that this vice was unfamiliar to her. She had always been very energetic and active, but perhaps someone close to her suffered from it.
Both try to avoid effort, hinder a person from reaching their goal, obstructing at all levels. And in general, can it be said that cunning covers the main vice, laziness? After all, because of it, no effort is made. Neither physical, nor emotional, nor intellectual?
I notice in myself that sometimes I am too lazy to make an effort, and this avoidance happens mechanically.
Why?
Sighed a slim, tall guy in a plaid shirt and jeans.
Because, Dan, to make an effort, you have to overcome laziness, overcome self-will, part with some vice. A person makes an effort to overcome it.
The Keeper of Knowledge energetically embraced the guy, showing that he believed in him, that he would overcome his vice. The young man smiled shyly and, folding his hands in a prayer gesture, bowed to the master. Meanwhile, the Keeper of Knowledge turned to Laura, who had asked the question and replied,
When a person identifies with laziness, self-will, or some other ignorance and foolishness, then they are afraid to part with them. And then they only pretend to have made some effort. But in fact, all the vices remain with them. Rather, even so, instead of rejecting bad patterns, behavioral stereotypes, they make a lot of effort to preserve past habits, weaknesses, laziness, self-will. As a result, they remain a stupid egoist, but at the same time want to become an angel. But it doesn't happen that way. They must reject their past self, and only then will they receive a new future, become better.
Master, all of us gathered here have chosen the spiritual path and want to rid ourselves of vices, resentment, laziness, and much more. You help us, give us tools. But it seems to me that I am now analyzing post facto that my effort doesn't always work.
Harry joined the conversation again. The guy was a bit confused. He couldn't figure out how to get rid of negative behavior, and he gestured to himself, waving his hands in excitement.
Yes, I have experienced that too,
confirmed the young Chinese woman, Yun Yan, sitting next to him.
It seems like I sincerely want to give up everything, but at the most crucial moment when effort is needed, I often skip it out of inertia.
You know, the thing is,
the keeper addressed them both immediately.
In difficult situations, it's important to make an effort rather than avoid them using cunning. And for that, a strong mindset is needed. One person repeats from the very morning, Today there will be situations that will require effort from me, and I will do even more than necessary to overcome it all. While another wakes up thinking, How can I trick here or there, pretend, justify, cause trouble? This person wants to preserve their ignorance, the very thing that makes them miserable. And by these actions, one brings even greater harm upon oneself.
I understand. To embark on development, I need to tune into the fact that there will be difficult situations, and that I will not only make the necessary efforts, but go beyond.
Harry's face lit up with a happy smile. Yun Yan shook the boy's hand in solidarity. She was also glad that she now had a working tool.
And I understood. Got the answer to my question. Thank you, Master. Now I know what to do, how not to automatically resort to cunning.
Shared her insight, Amina, the mulatto woman who raised this question at the very beginning of the meeting. The topic was complex, and the keeper was pleased that his disciples absorbed the knowledge.
And if, for example, a person does not see this vice in himself?
Dan sincerely wanted to understand this question to the end.
Maybe when a person sleeps and does not realize that he is cunning or arbitrary. Even if others tell him about it, he cannot understand it.
The young man looked questioningly at the master. There was a plea for help in his eyes.
It's one thing, Dan, when it's a conscious process, when a person deliberately wants to protect his vice, his past, wants to outsmart. And another thing is when he is not aware of it. We know, you and I, that those who are in the world live in ignorance. They don't see much, don't understand much. I live as it is accepted in society, so I seem to be doing everything right, but I feel disgusted. Why do I feel so bad? They say,
the master said fervently.
And what should one do?
Dan persisted.
To constantly accumulate good karma, one must pray for awakening. Then you will go along with the processes that come from outside. Or at least you will see the essence of what is happening, see your ignorance. But when everyone around tells a person that they tricked here, deceived there, were lazy here, showed self-will there, and constantly remind them of it, and they do not perceive it, then it is already a sin. It means they do not wish to realize this, want to remain undeveloped, ignorant, and constantly tries to justify themselves somehow, praise themselves. Everything is fine with me. They simply cherish their stupidity, trying to preserve it. They worry. God forbid, someone will disturb their ego, take away their opportunity to degrade.
The disciple smiled, knowing that the master is often ironic, lashing out at human vices. The keeper of knowledge wanted to make sure that the boy still understood the essence of what was said and asked him to finish his thought. Dan was so engrossed in the conversation with the master that he even jumped up with excitement.
Master, I understand that a person who tries to soothe themselves will never be able to make efforts and develop because they deceive themselves. Instead of tuning in to be uncompromising towards vice, they try to preserve it in every possible way, and in the end, they remain a failure. But if they, on the contrary, came to hate all this in themselves, then they would quickly get rid of it.
The youth exclaimed loudly with energy and, receiving an approving nod from the keeper of knowledge, happily returned to his seat.
I have a question about self-pity.
The young blonde woman in a long, light green dress with a lace collar began her story resolutely. The master felt that she had been gathering her courage for a long time to share her story and sent her the energy of light.
Since I was 15, I've had daily clashes with my drunk father. We argued, he emotionally oppressed me, and I cried. Back then, in childhood, I set a goal for myself, to remain strong and react calmly to his angry alcoholic outbursts. Now I'm 30, and I thought I had defeated this lava. At least, that's how it seemed to me. But being here, I see that it's not the case, and that in reality, I'm not coping. I've noticed that any difficult situation still evokes self-pity. Tears well up in my eyes, and resentment arises in my soul. How can I still achieve my goal? How can I get rid of self-pity? Because it takes away energy and hinders development.
You, Gwyneth, need to look at what kind of attitude you have that is causing self-pity.
The keeper, as if immersing the girl in a trance, began to model a picture from her childhood.
Here's the situation. Your drunken father came, started shouting, going crazy. You think, this shouldn't be. It's unfair that my father acts like this. All these thoughts precisely create self-pity. You must remove this judgment of bad. It's just life. Here comes some situation. It's not good, not bad, but I can either develop in it, then it will become good. Or I can react in the old foolish way, start crying, pity myself, then this situation will be bad. Why? What do you think?
Because then I am not evolving,
the woman whispered. At that moment her eyes sparkled, enlightenment engulfed her, and she almost exclaimed,
when I overcome a situation, I use it for development. But if not, then I remain in the same state, in suffering, in ignorance, which adults instilled in me.
Now you understand, Gwyneth, that if you continue to live in judgment, believing that something unfair, bad, or wrong is happening, you breed self-pity, self-compassion, and revel in the image of a victim.
And which thoughts should one cultivate in this particular situation?
Maurice, a short, humble-looking young man in a light gray suit, who listened attentively to the master, dared to ask. It was evident that this topic was also important and painful for him.
Well, something like this. This situation is given to me by God so that I may develop. Yes, my drunk father is yelling, but I can start developing at this moment, read spiritual books, or have fun. In any case, relate to it somehow differently. Easier, more joyfully, more detached. Only then will there be spiritual growth.
The man's eyes moistened. It was evident that he heard an important and wise piece of advice for himself. He understood the truth. He gratefully took the hand of the master and brought to his lips. The keeper of knowledge slowly rose from his seat and headed towards the girl, He moved so smoothly that it seemed as if he were gliding, like a majestic ship slicing through crystal clear waves.
Gwyneth, you mentioned that you thought you had achieved your goal. Perhaps all your attitudes have remained, just some buffer has developed, a habit. Well, this is a drunk father. What can you expect? He has been like this for many years. But as soon as another situation arises, unfamiliar to you, the old reaction kicks in again. Thoughts of unfairness arise, and the desire to pity oneself arises. Remember the attitude and that any situation in itself is neutral. It just is, and you must use it for development. If you use it for growth, it's good. If not, it's bad because you degrade.
The master placed his hand on the girl's head, barely touching her hair, and from his eyes, a fountain of golden energy seemed to burst forth, bestowing the love and mercy of God. Gwyneth's shoulders trembled. She shuddered with sobs. The keeper embraced her with the energy of light and love. And after a few moments, the girl, coming to her senses, raised her head. Her eyes shone. A smile played on her lips. It was as if she had been freed from a burdensome load, relaxed. Everyone noticed how truly beautiful she was. It was an incredible transformation. Many in the hall cried along with her, some from the realization of wisdom, because every grain of sacred knowledge bestowed by the keeper was invaluable, and some rejoicing for Gwyneth. The temple fell into spontaneous meditation, and when it was completed, the keeper invited the disciples to continue the conversation with a glance.
Master, does cunning also require some effort?
Amina was active today.
Yes, you are thinking correctly. A person makes efforts, only sometimes they destroy him. There are two kinds of efforts. The first is when a person develops willpower, steadfastness, selflessness. This develops us, makes us angels. And the second kind is cunning. Refusing necessary actions keeps us incomplete, foolish, blatant egoists. And this begins to destroy us.
Great one. Sometimes it happens to me that I make some efforts, but then there comes a moment when I realize that they are futile.
Daisy, a housewife of about 35, hesitated a little. It was evident that she was choosing her words to convey her thoughts, but she didn't quite succeed. The keeper gently supported her.
Go on, Daisy.
In the end, I realize that I haven't achieved anything, and I've succumbed to this lava. It turns out that all my struggle was deceit, lies, since the strength of my decision turned out to be insufficient to overcome it. And I constantly think that I am a hypocritical liar. What should I do about it?
The woman's face expressed suffering and shame, for she publicly admitted her vices, revealing her low manifestations to everyone.
Efforts, Daisy, must be made for oneself. You know,
the keeper addressed everyone.
Perhaps you have encountered such people in the collective who make efforts for a show, throwing dust in the eyes. Look, I'm such a saint, a superhero, Spider-Man. At that moment, their false personality develops, and such efforts do not count. But if they made efforts for themselves and thought like this, I want to become better for myself. I want to become an angel for myself. I want to change, and not for someone to pat me on the back. Then they would truly start developing. It is only in these moments that our human essence begins to change.
Seeing that Daisy was pondering his words, the keeper suggested she contemplate further, observe herself. And the woman, nodding, returned to her seat.
Master, what about when a person avoids a sharp corner? Or when they find themselves in a tight spot but start to justify themselves? Will this also be considered undermining the cross? Because there are no efforts, no self-improvement. And does it mean that their karma will still catch up with them?
The usually silent and pensive young man with glasses and a trendy beard joined the dialogue.
Absolutely correct, Inaken. Justification is the same cunning. an attempt to present everything in a rosy light, not as it actually was. Instead of repenting, seeing the vice, starting to eradicate it within oneself, detach oneself from it. The person tries to say, "No, there is no vice. They're only flowers. Look at how beautifully my ignorance is wrapped." Thus, through cunning, a person tries to preserve their ignorance.
"I see, I see,"
the man smiled.
"To avoid karma, there is only one way. To repent, start working on oneself, exaggerate, separating oneself from this vice. Only then can one become purer." "Thank you, Great One, for your wisdom. I also want to clarify, am I correct in understanding that cunning is the switching of parts, moving away from the spiritual part to the non-spiritual and back? What then would be considered real effort? Repentance after trickery? Or catching the moment when you want to deceive and stopping that action?"
"Well, firstly, in Aiken, one can repent for not setting oneself on the right actions. And secondly, having seen their actions once, twice, three times, they should set themselves against their degradation. No, I will not act like this anymore."
"I think effort, like repentance, certainly helps. But it's not so effective somehow. It can even become a habit. Sinned, repented, sinned, repented,"
sadly commented a respectable man in a baseball cap from the back row.
"That's right, in fact,"
the keeper didn't leave this remark unanswered.
"We all always know that these situations will repeat themselves day after day, and we shouldn't resort to cunning, but understand that if God allowed it, then it is necessary. And our goal is to remember that trials will repeat themselves, to set ourselves up for them in advance and to manifest correctly in them."
Noticing that there were still disciples in the hall who didn't quite understand the process of overcoming vices, the keeper gently and calmly repeated,
"Remember, we have already talked today about how when a person sets themselves up in advance, then already in the situation itself, they can manifest correctly. And if there was no prior intention, they will act as if in a dream. Yes, later his spiritual part will wake up, but it will only remain for it to repent. Therefore, it is very important to set oneself up for goodness and right manifestations in advance. If you approach this process seriously and emotionally, then later in the situation, a person can wake up and act correctly."
Finishing his speech, the master surveyed the hall and noted to himself that finally, everyone present had managed to grasp the essence of today's topic. And this was the greatest reward for him. The meeting came to its conclusion. The atmosphere of concentration that prevailed in the temple today allowed everyone to delve into the depths of inner feeling, to touch the truth, and to gain a unique experience of wisdom. The temple of knowledge emptied, but its walls still long felt. The ringing atmosphere of joy and delight experienced today by people striving for knowledge. Main theses. 1. A cunning person trying to deceive someone actually deceives themselves. Cunning can be overcome through effort. Without enough effort, there is no development. 2. Rational proposal is appropriate when we are doing some work. But when it comes to spiritual growth, effort must be exerted. 3. It is impossible to deceive God. He always sees the truth and rewards people according to their merits in the aspects of the planets. This is how karma is formed. 4. There are necessary sufferings that help one to develop, and there are foolish ones that only destroy a person, hinder their growth, and lead to degradation. 5. In the modern world, there are more and more false teachers who pollute people's minds with their stupidity. But real knowledge, which is transmitted to people, has a criterion by which it can be distinguished. It makes one better. 6. To move forward, one must leave behind old bad patterns and stereotypes of behavior. It is impossible to remain a foolish egoist and become an angel. 7. Difficult situations are our trainers. and our goal is to make efforts. Self-complacency only hinders us. It is important to remember that any situation is neither bad nor good. It just is. And it is given to us for development. We must use it. Otherwise, we may fall into self-pity, criticism, and so on. 8. Efforts come in two kinds. One develops us, making us angels, and the other keeps us ignorant egoists. And they must be made for oneself, not to put on a show, pretending. 9. Justification is the same as cunning. The main tool for disidentification from justification, from cunning, from vices, is the right attitude.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.